Back to another one. It goes on to say a Mason believes in the fatherhood of God, requiring that his will be done and that he guides his life. A Mason believes it is the great worth of the individual, worth not relating to wealth, position, and power, but recognizing each other as individual human beings. A Mason believes that each individual is under the fatherhood of God. It says, in the lodge, all members are brothers on the same level, whether they're bankers or doctors or farmers, lawyers, industrialists, high-ranking politicians, or laborers. With all members on the same level, then there are no barriers when they meet. The Mason believes in the brotherhood of man and the fatherhood of God. And it went on to tell a story about President Truman. He was a Mason. He went into the lodge and someone called him Mr. President, and he said, no. He said, I'm Brother Truman while I'm in here. He said, when I leave, then I'll be Mr. President. Because it said they believe in the brotherhood of man under the fatherhood of God. Well, is that a true statement? The brotherhood of man under the fatherhood of God. Now, that's a common opinion, that we're all God's children, and we're all brothers in humanity. And you know, people will appeal to that, you know, you're God's child and God loves you and so forth. But is that what the Bible says? Is that a true statement? Well, the Masons say that they have a lot in common because of their affiliations, because of their common interests and so forth. And so they call one another brothers. But is that a true statement that we're all brothers? And God is our Father. Well, in John chapter number 8, in verse 31, it says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. Then shall you know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we believe we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou then, you shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son of Man abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that you're Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which you have seen with your father. And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. They said, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceed forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? If I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Now Jesus would have an exception to that idea of the brotherhood man under the fatherhood of God. Because if you think about it, the religious and Jews had a lot in common. They read the same Bible. They went to the same temple. They participated in the same festivals. So the Feast of Tabernacles and the Passover and so forth. They were from the same country. Many of them from the same tribe there of Judah. They had the same heritage, the same culture. But there was no brotherhood between the religious Jews and the disciples of Jesus. In fact, Jesus said that not only was God not their father, but they were of their father, the devil. And so tonight I want to consider a very important question. Who is your father? Who do you take after? Who do you imitate? And as we go through this, we'll see it's more than just a mere fraternity that makes one a brother. And it's more than just being a human being that makes one a brother and a child of God. Rather than having an outline for the message tonight, we're just going to follow the conversation. And as we do, we're going to see the hopeless condition of these religious Jews. And what they were trusting in and what they were hoping in and what they were taking comfort in was folly. There was no grounds for their confidence. Because they were a sinner without Christ, they had nothing good of themselves to bring unto God. And we'll see the reality of the soul of one who is without Christ. So when we look there at the first few verses from verses 31 through 38, we find that the truth sets you free, but they relied not on the truth, but their family tree. See, they didn't know the truth. They didn't know Jesus' words, and because they didn't know him, they were not his disciples. They didn't know the truth, they didn't believe the truth, they didn't receive the truth, and so they were not the disciples of Jesus. They were the children of Abraham in one sense because of their family tree, and that's what they were trusting in. But that's different than the state of your soul. Jesus said they were in bondage to their sins. The word of God had no place in them, and the evidence of that was that they were trying to kill Jesus. The Lord's word had no place in them. And Jesus told them there in verse 38, I'm speaking to you what I have seen with my Father. So Jesus' words were the words of God. Jesus' words are the words that will set you free. But they didn't receive those words. They didn't receive that truth. The word had no place in them. And so he said, whereas I speak what I have seen with my Father, you do that which you have seen of your Father. And so Jesus is showing there's a relationship. I was with my Father in heaven. I speak what I have seen of my Father in heaven. I speak the word of God. And I do the will of God. But you do what you've seen of your Father. You imitate your Father. And I speak the truth of my Father. See, the religious Jews here, they didn't hear the words of Jesus, but they did the deeds of their father. They were not the disciples of Jesus by faith. And they were living by their works, and their works were not in line in accordance with the truth of God. They were not in Christ, but they were in their sins. They don't have the word in them. And they were not the disciples of Jesus. They didn't believe the truth. They didn't believe the doctrine. And so they lived by their own nature. They did what they had seen of their father. They just lived out who they were. Now they were relying on a fleshly relationship to get them in good standing with God, but because the word did not abide in them, because they did not abide in Christ, because they were not disciples of Jesus, because they were not born again, they lived by their nature, by what they wanted to do. And that nature is a sinful nature. So Jesus said they do what they have seen of their father. Well, then in verse 39, they said unto him, Abraham is our father. So that's the same thing they said in verse 33. We be Abraham's seed. We're never in bondage to any man. And so Jesus says, well, you commit, whoever commits sin is a servant of sin. The Son will make you free. I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I've seen of my father. You do what you've seen of your father. And all they heard was Abraham's, you know, that's all they thought of. That's all that came into the mind. So again, it's The second verse, the same as the first. They're just repeating themselves. Abraham's our father. What are you talking about? Doing what the deeds of our father. Abraham's our father. They don't respond to the fact that Jesus said that they weren't receiving his word and the word didn't abide in them. In fact, they didn't even respond to the truth that Jesus said, "You desire to kill me." Isn't that interesting that Jesus said, "You're trying to kill me," and they didn't even address that. Well, why is that? Well, I think it's because Jesus just got to the crux of the issue here. It was a direct hit that what Jesus said was a precise hit on what they were thinking in the state of their soul, because he got them right at the point of their hope. To say that they desired to kill Jesus was a small thing compared to untethering them from Abraham. Being in the lineage of Abraham was their sole hope. That was the main thing of their entire existence. You take that away from them, they didn't have anything. Nothing else mattered to them if they were not the children of Abraham. And if we were going to compare it to the truth, we might compare it to Paul, when Paul said, "And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain." Well, these people might have said, "If we be not children of Abraham, our religion is vain, and our preaching is vain." That they had no hope unless they could take their family tree and trace it back to Abraham. That was their sole comfort in this life, was their lineage. They believed that they were the children of God because they were related to Abraham. And so when Jesus strikes there, nothing else mattered to him at that point. And so Jesus says, they said, "Abraham's our father." And he said, "Well, if you were Abraham's children, you'd do the works of Abraham. But you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father." So they replied back sort of the same thing. "Abraham's our father." Well, Jesus replies back almost with the same answer. "If you were Abraham's children, then you would act like Abraham. You're trying to kill me, and Abraham never tried to do that. So how can you say that you're doing the works of Abraham?" The evidence just isn't adding up here, he's telling them. Abraham's children would act like Abraham. And so now Jesus is making it clear that this is not an issue of DNA, isn't he? An issue of faith. It's an issue of faith. Just because my children are my children doesn't mean that they would do everything that I want them to do. We all know that. Especially when kids grow up and they leave the house, they're their own people. And they do what they want to do and act how they want to act and so forth. And just because you're related to somebody doesn't mean that you're going to act exactly the same. My siblings and I, we don't act the same. Many people in my family couldn't be more opposite. Me and some of my family members couldn't be more different. Some of my extended family members. So just because you're related doesn't mean you act the same. So this only applies if Jesus is talking about something bigger than your DNA. He's talking about the relationship there and the imitating those who you come from. Jesus speaks the words of his father. And Jesus said, if you were a true child of Abraham, you would do the works of Abraham. If you were truly in that line of Abraham, and we'll make clear what I'm talking about here in just a second, you would act like Abraham. Just as Jesus speaks the words of his father, you would speak the words of your father if you were a child of Abraham. But you're not. You're related to him for sure, but you're not a child of Abraham. You know a tree by its fruit, and you know a child by his works. So what was the fruit? Well, they heard the truth from Jesus and yet wanted to kill him. So this is this is the point that Jesus is making here. See, they're just fixated. Well, you know, I can go to ancestry.com and prove that I'm a child of Abraham. You know, they had the records, they had the receipts, they could prove it. But when Jesus says this, they just didn't comprehend it, didn't click with him what he was talking about. But he said, if you were the child of Abraham, you would hear the truth and believe it, just like Abraham did. But what you're doing, you heard the truth of God, and you want to kill the messenger. See, God knows motives. You can fool other people, and we can even fool ourselves, but you can't fool God. And so Jesus knew their heart, and he called them out on their motives. And then he says, what you want to do is get rid of the truth, not love the truth. So we go back to that beginning, back to that truth. The truth will set you free, but you don't like that. You would prefer to be in bondage to your sin because the truth will set you free, but you hate the truth. You won't hear the truth, and then you're trying to kill me because of it. Jesus spoke the truth, the word of God to them, but the word does not abide in them. They have no saving faith. They're dead in their trespasses and sins. They have not been born again. They are depraved. And so that's the foundational truth of humanity, that we are dead in our trespasses and sins, and except we be born again by the power of the Spirit of God, we cannot receive the truth. They did not believe, they didn't receive the truth, and it doesn't dwell in them. And they not only that, but they despise it so much, they desire to murder Jesus. Now, Abraham didn't do that, did he? Abraham didn't try to kill the angel of the Lord. Abraham didn't hear the truth and despise it or try to rid himself of the truth. And so they were claiming to be children of Abraham. Oh, yes, we're just like Abraham. We are the children of Abraham. I'm proud of it, and we're hoping in it. And Jesus said, you couldn't be further from Abraham. You are descendants of Abraham, but not of the faith of Abraham. Paul says in Romans 2:28, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. They were on the outside, but God doesn't look on the outside. He looks on the inside. And they did not have faith. They did not receive the truth like Abraham did. Now you can go back all the way back in Genesis chapter 12, and the Lord told Abraham to get thee out of the country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house and unto a land will I show thee. And I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And so Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. And he left and went towards the land of Canaan. That's in Genesis chapter 12. God called Abraham out from his people. He said, Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation. He called him from his false gods. He called him from his family. He was 70 years old. Or 75 years old. And lived in this land his whole life. And all of his possessions there. And Sarah was there. And her family. And 75 years he lived in this place. And God says, I want you to leave. Drop it all. Drop your gods. Drop your family. Drop everything you know, and I want you to come, and I'm gonna give you a great land. I'm gonna bless you. But Abraham didn't see that; it was just a word. And what did Abraham do? Did he despise God? Did he find fault with that truth? Did he complain? Did he call God a liar? No, Abraham departed, is what it says. So Abraham departed, as the Lord spoken unto him. That's what the book of Genesis says. God spoke, said, Abraham, leave and follow me. And he did it. He He heard the truth. He received the truth. And by faith, he followed after God. In Genesis 15, after these things, it says, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. So Abraham and Sarah went down into Egypt, and that's when Abraham was afraid they were going to kill him for Sarah, and so he lied and said, you know, said, she's my not my wife, she's my sister. And he got into that trouble, and then Lot and Abram's flocks got too big to live together, and they divided up. Lot got himself in trouble and kidnapped, and then Abraham went and rescued him, and he had that with him, you know, going to save Lot from the kidnappers. So in between the time that Abraham left the Ur of the Chaldees until Genesis chapter 15, he made quite a few blunders. He wasn't a perfect man, but he was still following after the Lord. He was still trusting in him. And in chapter 15, Jehovah once again came to Abraham and blessed him and told him, don't be afraid. I'm your shield. I'm your protector. I am your great reward. And so Abraham kept following the Lord. He had faith. He trusted in what God said. He received that word, and no matter what God told him, he would do it. And he would follow after the Lord. He would listen to him. He was the student of God, or the disciple of Jehovah. And really, Abraham was blessed in every way that he had lost in this world. He lost his false gods, but then he is the friend of God, Jehovah. He lost his family, but the Lord's going to give him a bigger family. He lost his land, but God gave him an eternal land that won't depart. And so God promised him that even though he was childless, he would give him a seed. Because Abraham said, I'm still childless. You know, I'm an old man. I'm still childless, and I'm going to end up having to give everything I have to my servants' children. So the Lord, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, thou shalt not, that the slaves would not be your heir, but he shall come forth out of thy own bowels. So God reiterates the promise. Abraham believes, even though he's an old man. He believes. And he tells him to go out at night and look up into the heaven and count the stars. He said, if you're able to number them, then said he unto him, so shall thy seed be. So, you know, even around here, it's kind of hard to look up into the star in the sky and see the stars like it would be to go out in the middle of the desert on a clear night and see the stars. You got street lights and car lights and house lights and all kinds of artificial lights that sort of dim the brightness of the sky. We went out west, and there was a poster at one of the national parks that said, I think something like half the park is after dark. And one of their big selling points was, you go out here and there's nothing out here. There's no electricity out here. So you look up in the sky and you can see, you can actually see stars. You know, you can see the space. Well, Abraham looks up and he said, Abraham, if you can count the stars, so shall you be able to number your descendants. If you look up into space and able to count those millions and millions of stars, then you'll be able to number how many children you're going to have, how many descendants you're going to have. You know what Abraham did? He believed. He believed. Here is a hope. Here is a promise that has no fleshly reasoning to back it up. I mean, his body is, it says in the New Testament, his body's dead. That he can't have kids. Physically not able to. Sarah, physically not able to. But God said, you're going to have kids naturally, in the natural way. And Abraham believed. And the Lord counted it unto him to righteousness. He believed. The Lord spoke. He received that word and he believed. Abraham met the angel of the Lord and believed. which I believe is the pre-incarnate Christ in Genesis 18. Abraham believed the word and acted upon it as the angel of the Lord came before him. The angel of the Lord came before him and he ran and told Sarah to prepare meat. There was the angel of the Lord. He was ready to receive the word. Abraham heard of the judgment of Sodom and interceded for Lot. He didn't question God's justice. He didn't question God's righteousness, but he received that truth and pleaded for God's mercy for Lot's sake. In Genesis 22, after Abraham had his child of promise, the Lord spoke to him again and said to offer your only son in a sacrifice to kill the son that he so longed for. And Abraham went to the top of the mountain with Isaac and was going to do it. Every step of the way, despite the obstacles, we might say, despite reasons in the flesh not to believe, Abraham believed. And Abraham obeyed. Was he perfect? No, not at all. Was he without sin? Hardly. But here was a man who heard God's word and believed it and acted upon it. He was a man of faith. He trusted in the Lord. He received the word. He followed after the Lord. He loved the Lord and would have done anything that God told him to the offering of his own son. When I preached a message on this shortly after Elijah was born. So there I had my firstborn son was an infant. And I went back and read that and thought about that. And you know how it is when you have your first child and you look there at your infant and you love the baby and you do anything in the world for it. And I thought about what took place there and the faith Abraham had and the trust that Abraham had. He believed the Lord. He received his word and would and loved the Lord and trusted him to do what was right. Now let's go back to John. Think about this for a second. What have the Jews done? What did they do in the Gospels? They did nothing but oppose Christ every step of the way. They did nothing but attack Christ every step of the way. They rejected the word. They didn't believe it. They denied the word. They didn't receive it. They fought against the word. They didn't obey it. When hard truths were spoken, they got angry. Whenever difficult truths were opened up, they didn't humble themselves and follow the Lord, but they got angry and tried to get rid of him. Abraham looked for the promises of God. He lived hoping in those promises of God, looking for that one seed to whom the whole world would be blessed. And when that one seed came in the flesh, they wanted to kill him. Now, Abraham loved the Lord, and here they are trying to kill him. Now, does that sound like Abraham? Does that sound like what Abraham was like? Well, no, they were quite the opposite. And that's the point Jesus is making. Whose example are they following? Who are they acting like? They could say anything they wanted to about who they were and what they believed and how religious they were, but Jesus just lays it out very plainly. You say you're the child of Abraham, well, you're not acting like him. You don't believe like him. You don't love like him. You don't trust like him. Still, they're upset. Still, they don't receive the truth. And they said in verse 41, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. You're saying that Abraham's not our father. We're not children of fornication. We're not children of sin. See, now they're starting to understand. Jesus said, you claim to be a child of Abraham, but your works prove that you're not. You have more in common with the idolaters than you do with Abraham. And so when they say we're not children, we're not born of fornication, they're not talking about the flesh now. Several places in Isaiah 57, Ezekiel 23, the book of Hosea in particular, the first couple chapters, all deal with the idea of spiritual adultery. And God tells them that they had committed spiritual fornications with false gods. And so now it's registering with them, wait a second, he's talking about our souls. And they're saying, you're saying we're not pure, we're not children of the covenant, but that's not true. We are of Abraham, we're children of the covenant. We're not children of spiritual adultery. God's our Father. And there are verses, you can find that in the Old Testament, where God said he was the Father of Israel, and that's what we're talking about. God is our Father because, again, we're related to Abraham. So they're starting to understand that there's more to being a child of Abraham than just being a seed, but then they come right back to it and say, God is our Father because, again, we're born in that family. Well, they claim to be a child of God, because they were in that nation. And they thought being born into that family put them in covenant relationship as a son with God. But they didn't know anything about faith. They knew nothing of God and his mercy and salvation and forgiveness or the eternal covenant. They knew nothing of the forgiveness of sins through the sacrifice. It was all about their works. In verse 42, Jesus says, if God were your Father, you'd love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. So here's the test. Here's their test, here's your test. Do you love Jesus? All people talk about the day they were baptized. And they'll talk about the day they joined the church. And they'll talk about what they did 20 years ago. They'll talk about how they used to go to church and where they used to go to church and who their pastor used to be and all these things that they used to be and all those things that was. But here's the test. Do you love Jesus? If God were your Father, you would love me. That's the test. It's not if God was your Father, you would have done something once upon a time. If God were your Father, you would love me. Do you love Jesus? Several of my great-grandparents died with Alzheimer's. And I've seen that, how at the end of life, they just didn't know who they were. They forgot everything. They didn't know who their children were. My great-grandma, I went to see her, and she didn't know who her children were, but she saw me and she recognized me. You know, it's just odd how you know, one or two things would stick with her. But I thought about that. You know, what happens to the child of God who loses their memory and they can't remember things and they can't go back and rely upon those old memories that they once had way back upon a time? Well, that's not our comfort. Our comfort is, do we love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus now? That's the question. Do you love him now? People tell me they're saved because they joined the church a long time ago, or they're saved because they used to do things. Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus now? That's a question we all need to ask, but it's also a comfort for you tonight if you know the Lord. Because you may have very little strength. You may have even very little faith. You may have very little knowledge of theology and deep doctrines of the Bible. But do you love Jesus? That's the question. So take heart, Christian, because that's the mark of a child of God. Do you love him? Say, well, I can't remember, or I'm too weak. My faith is too small. What's Jesus say? If God were your Father, you would love me. Do you love Jesus? Then take courage. Take comfort. That is the mark of a child of God. You would love me. If you knew him, if you knew God, if he was your Father, you would love Jesus. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. So the question Jesus is asking is, how can you say you be of God? How can you love God and not love me? Jesus came forth from the Father. He speaks the words of the Father. He came proceeding forth from God. So how can you love God and say you be a child of God but hate him? So that takes us back to that question about the brotherhood of man. Can the Muslim be a child of God who doesn't love Jesus? Well, Jesus says, no, he can't be. Because how can you love the Father? How can you love God if you don't love Jesus? Can an atheist or agnostic be a child of God and not love Jesus? Well, Jesus says, no. How can one be in fellowship with the Father and yet not love his only begotten Son? Jesus proceeds from the Father as the second person of the Trinity, the eternal Son, eternally proceeds from the eternal Father, the only begotten of the Father, which is a great mystery, but it is the clear truth of the Scripture. But how can you not love the Father? Or how can you love the Father and claim to be of the Father if you don't love Jesus when the Father and the Son are one? And that's the question he asked. And in verse 43, he tells them sort of why they don't understand. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Why does this confuse you? Why were they always misunderstanding what Jesus was saying and misinterpreting what he was telling them? Because they didn't receive his doctrine. They didn't hear his truth, so they couldn't understand what he was telling them. A child of God loves Jesus. A child of God receives the word. A child of God, by faith, submits to the word. And they had done none of those things. They had no marks of a child of God. No characteristics. And so he tells them, the only characteristics that you have are that of the devil. You do the works of the devil. You have the lusts of the devil. You're a murderer like the devil. They wanted to get rid of Jesus. They wanted to kill him. They hated in their heart. Well, that's the work of the devil. Not that the devil made them do that, but they're acting like the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning. Not only did he desire to destroy the human race through the fall, but every step of the way, his works and his actions are for the destruction of humanity. He's a murderer. And they act like their father. Their rejection and their hatred of the truth is like the devil who hates the truth. There's no truth in the devil. The truth does not abide in him. They hate. Jesus spoke the truth and they hated him for it. There was no truth in them. They didn't want the truth. The truth did not abide in them. They did not receive it. And so, in that regard, they're like the devil. And they lie like the devil. So, if you examine Abraham's life, they sure don't act like Abraham. But if you consider the characteristics of the devil, they were more close to the devil than they were Abraham. And so then Jesus tells them the truth, and they didn't believe it. And he says, which of you convinceth me of sin? So now he's going to get sort of like the trial here. Which of you? So who's going to convict me of sin? Who's going to convict me of error? Anybody. He throws out a challenge to them. Which one of you are going to say that I've told you something wrong? Which one of you are going to go through my words and find sin in my words and inconsistency in my doctrine? who's going to prove to me that I've done something wrong? And they couldn't. They had to get liars to come and give false testimony even to try him before Pilate. He said, so which one of you is going to convince me of sin? And then he said, okay, and if I say the truth, why don't you believe me? So there's a challenge for him. Show me where I'm wrong, Jesus says. Show me where I've sinned. Show me where I've deceived you. Show me where I've lied. Show me where I've committed any evil at all. My public life is all before me. Convict me of sin. I could say that tonight and you guys would line up probably and be able to convict me of sin. And everybody'd have to take their turn and we might be here for a while. Because I'm a sinner. Jesus says that and they had to be quiet. And he said, and I know you're going to be quiet. And so, if I say the truth, why don't you believe me? I haven't done anything wrong. You can't point to anything I've done wrong. You can't point to any untruth I've told you. And so, since I tell the truth, why don't you believe me? Well, here's the reason why. In verse 47, he that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. That's why. It's not because Jesus didn't tell them the truth. It's not because Jesus did something wrong. It's because they're not of God. They're of the devil. They hate the truth. They're dead in their trespasses and sins. And they don't believe him because they're not of God. He's convicted them and proven them to be without hope. They who believe are the followers of Abraham, the children of Abraham. It's those people of faith who follow Abraham. See, they gloried so much of Abraham and they loved following after the ways of the people of God, but they were not the friends of God. They were the children of the devil. A child of God is one who is born again by God's Spirit, adopted into the family of God, who hears God, loves Jesus, obeys his word, receives his word. But a child of the devil is one whose characteristics in life are that of the devil, who hates the word of God, who doesn't want anything to do with Jesus, who will not receive the word, who will not be convicted of the truth. And the question is, who do you imitate? But there is hope. There is hope. Because without any hope, without Christ, without his mercy, we'd all die and go to hell. But there is hope. And I want to close with this. I'm just going to read some scriptures here in Ephesians, and then we'll close. Ephesians 2, starting verse number 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And you, every one of us here, born dead in trespasses and sins. Where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, but were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. In times past we walked according to the course of this world. We walked and talked and acted like the devil. We were controlled by the devil. We lived like the devil. We thought like the devil. We loved like the devil. And that's not necessarily doing great sins, is it? It's not loving Jesus. It's not obeying the truth. It's not hearing the truth. There in verse 4, though, but God. We were like the devil, but God, who was rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace you are saved through faith, and not not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them. Whose child are you? By grace, in Christ Jesus, we are the children of God, who believe in Christ by faith.